Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Jeff Humfeld. On today's edition, host Richard Tripp talks with Amy Good and Emily Brown, founders of the Renewed Health Pantry, about their efforts to help those in need that require a special diet. Then, in the second half of our broadcast, Jeff Humfeld will speak with Sergeant Major Philip Hoffler about the activities at the Kansas City Vietnam Veterans Memorial and some music to honor those that made the ultimate sacrifice. We don't have a calendar of events this week, but stay tuned for the 420 drug war news at the end of the show. Up next is Richard and his guest.
Good morning,
Kansas City Community.
Kansas City, this is Richard Tripp with Jaws of Justice. I got two beautiful young ladies here with me today. They have just opened a new food pantry, and we're going to learn all about renewed health. I have Amy Goody and Emily Brown. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
To start with, why don't you tell me a little bit about renewed health?
Well, Renewed Health Food Pantry is a dedicated gluten-free and allergy-friendly food pantry. It serves low-income families diagnosed with celiac disease, gluten intolerance, or multiple food allergies.
Sounds good. How long have you guys been over there?
We've been open for a little bit over a month. We opened April 22nd, and the pantry is located at New Haven SDA Church off the corner of 87th and Antioch, and it's really a partnership between Food Equality Initiative and the New Haven SDA Church.
Do you have a website?
We do. You can find us on the web at www.foodequalityinitiative.org.
Okay. What started you into pulling this new food pantry open?
Well, the need came about because both of us actually have children that have multiple food allergies. My son also is gluten sensitive. For a long time, we did not know that he whether he had celiac disease or if it was just a gluten sensitivity. So we know how hard it is to afford these foods just from a personal level. If you don't have a very high income.
Well, I understand the gluten-free food. Now, I don't know that much about gluten-free, but I do know the price of these foods are probably out of most people that have a fixed income, it's out of their price. What are they, about two or three times higher than regular food?
Two to four times, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What kind of foods do you give out? I mean,
we hand out gluten-free breads, which are gluten-free, wheat-free. We have some that are also egg and dairy-free, which is another. Dairy and eggs are also high allergies. We hand out gluten-free pastas, gluten-free cereals, gluten-free baking mixes. We have something called sun butter, which is a very nutritious peanut butter alternative for children with nut allergies. We have dairy-free milks, which, again, that helps children get their daily requirements of calcium and vitamin D. We have tuna for protein, beans for protein, so just all kinds of good foods that really focus not only on the alternatives of the allergy, but also the health aspect of it with the nutrition, the vitamins, and the proteins.
Well, I know that our listeners, a lot of them out there, can't afford that type of food, and you come at a welcome time. What do you need to come to your pantry and get a food order?
You need a doctor's note, and you need to have financial need. We do typically say low income. However, we're finding that because these foods are so expensive and the conditions themselves are very expensive. I know for a while my son was going to the doctor every week, whether it was dermatology, GI, allergy. We were constantly there, and that's a $35 copay every week. So even the middle income, middle class people are getting hit really hard with these prices and the medical expenses. So we actually have on our website a tier of what your income needs to be to qualify for the pantry.
What do you see your mission being with your...
Well, our mission is really to improve health and end hunger for individuals living with celiac disease and food allergies. Like Amy mentioned, it's not just about replacing the alternatives and providing those. It's about improving the health, because usually when you suffer from these conditions, you're dealing with a lot of secondary conditions as well. And so we really want to make sure that families are safe, you know, that they can have the safe, healthy food to improve their health.
How did you get involved with New Haven?
Well, I'm actually a member of New Haven SDA Church. And so when we started this project in 2014, I kind of felt that our mission kind of fit with their mission. You know, the Adventist Church has a long history of health ministry. And so I just kind of thought this would be a great fit. So we approached them, and they have really taken it on as a ministry, and it's a partnership between Food Equality Initiative and New Haven. So, yeah, it's just been a blessing.
I might also add, Renewed Health is a 501c3 not-for-profit.
Well, Renewed Health is the pantry. Food Equality Initiative is the registered nonprofit, yes, that sponsors the pantry.
So what are your operating hours?
Well, the pantry is open every Wednesday from 9:30 a.m. to noon. And, you know, currently, like I said, we've been open about a month. We are looking to potentially add additional hours once we see where the needs are for our clients. But at this time, every Wednesday.
I understand you're trying to expand into other parts of the city, too.
That is correct. We do have clients coming in from all over the Metroplex, as this is not only our region's first dedicated gluten-free and allergy-friendly pantry, but this is the nation's first pantry. And typically, you cannot find these foods at regular food pantries. So we have clients coming from all over the Metro, and we want to make sure that access is available to everyone who needs these. So we are looking into expanding into Wyandotte County and Jackson County.
How would people contact you to set up an appointment or whatever to come in to get food?
We do have our website is one of the best ways, because we do have a contact us page, so www.foodequalityinitiative.org. And using the contact us tab, you can put in your name, phone number, email, and we can contact you within 48 hours. And we also do have a phone number on our homepage, which, of course, I'm having trouble remembering right now. But that's also a great way to get in touch with us, too. And, again, we have a very quick turnaround time. It's usually within a few hours we're able to call someone back or email them back.
Well, I know you guys get food from different companies that you give out. You know, there might be some CEO or something of some company that might have gluten-free food they'd like to donate. Would they also contact you through the site?
Yes, they could contact us through the website or the phone number, which I believe is 913-703-6639. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So, you know, getting back to really, why did you start the center or the food pantry?
Well, it really kind of was born out of my family's personal experience with food insecurity and multiple food allergies. At the time, my husband was working as a social worker for the state of Kansas, and social workers don't make a ton of money. And so when my oldest daughter was diagnosed in 2012 with multiple allergies, I mean, it really hit us in the pocketbook. I mean, we were making it, and then it became very difficult to make it. And so we did have to seek assistance through the WIC program when we discovered that I was expecting our second child. And it was just kind of overwhelming. And I was shocked, really, to discover that there weren't very many alternatives. I mean, when you're eliminating, you know, dairy, eggs, peanuts, wheat, I mean, multiple food groups from your diet, I was just shocked that you weren't able to get the alternatives and things that you needed to make nutritious meals. And so I then turned to a food pantry, and I realized, you know, I left with a jar of salsa and two potatoes, and it's just, you know, you can't feed a family of four with that. And so I called Amy, and I let her know, because, you know, at the time, you know, nobody knew that we were on assistance. And, you know, hunger is kind of this quiet crisis in this country. We suffer in silence. We don't let anybody know. We kind of, you know, it's there's shame attached to it. And so Amy and I had developed a close friendship, and I just felt propelled to let her know what was going on. And, you know, together we just were like, well, we've got to do something about this, because I know it can't just be my family. There's lots of people suffering that can't, you know, that don't have access to the safe foods that they need. And it's not even just about the cost of the foods. There's so many layers to the problem. I mean, we live in Wyandotte County, and a lot of the alternative foods that we needed to purchase, you couldn't even find in the county. I mean, you know, we were driving every week to Johnson County, to the Hy-Vee Health Market and to Whole Foods. And, you know, when you add that extra expense, I mean, it just adds up. So, and some people don't even, you know, aren't blessed to have transportation. So we just knew that we needed to do something about it.
What about you, Amy? What brought you into it?
Well, obviously, Emily and I had become very close. Our children were diagnosed at about the same age with almost the exact same allergies, and they're born about a week apart. So we became friends very fast, very, very, very fast. And I have always been a proponent of no one in this country should be hungry. And this was just something that touched my heart. Obviously, when, you know, your friend's telling you that they're having trouble affording groceries, that hurts. It hurts really bad. So I felt like this was something that I definitely wanted to get involved with. And you know, we're kind of like two peas in a pod. I mean, we're just on the same wavelength, and it wasn't even a hesitation.
Well, it's really neat that you come up with this. I know a lot of our listeners wonder why I would bring you on the Jaws of Justice. It's because there's more than one justice, and feeding Americans should be right at the top of the list, and especially those that's on a fixed income and they can't get out and provide for their children when they're sick. I mean, and, you know, I commend both you guys because you come up with a heck of a plan. And, you know, people listening, you should take advantage of this. I'm sure very many of you will. And if anybody out there's got a building, say, in Kansas City, and you want some good tenants, of course, it would be on a volunteer basis, but they're looking to open up another Renewed Health here in Kansas City, Missouri. So anybody out there, any church groups or not-for-profits that would like to get another tenant, I got a couple good-looking women here. So with that said, I still find it amazing you got Seventh-day Adventist Church to give you space. That's got to be such a neat feeling to know you can go to church there and go right there to your business, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is a blessing.
What do you guys do when you're not running the pantry?
Well, when we're not running the pantry, you know, I'm caring for my two beautiful daughters at home and making sure that they have all the support that they need. And I think that's really kind of the inspiration for the entire project. So,
what about you, Amy?
I'm caring for my 3.5-year-old son at home. But, I mean, it's like any other business. Just because you're not there, it doesn't mean that you're not actually working.
Right.
I know Emily and I put in a huge amount of time, in addition to just the Wednesday mornings, where we're, you know, contacting more manufacturers. We're working with grocery stores. We're trying to do food drives. We're constantly working some angle to get either another pantry or to get more donations. But we're constantly working on this because we just have such a drive that this has to be done.
Let's speak about volunteers. Do you guys need volunteers?
We do. We do need volunteers. We're always looking for good volunteers. And if you'd like to volunteer, we do have a volunteer tab on our website. Again, that's www.foodequalityinitiative.org. You can click there and you can find all the ways that you can get involved with our organization. And you can send an inquiry through the Contact Us page and we'll follow up with you and get you involved.
Sounds good. Again, this is Richard Tripp with Jaws of Justice with you here on this beautiful Memorial Day. And as I said, I have Amy Goody and Emily Brown with renewed help, a new food pantry that's opened up that can help the really needy that can't afford gluten-free food in our community. So tell me, you know, you have people come to you and say, we need help. Could you tell me some of the stories you've heard about people needing help?
Yeah, we actually have had quite the range. We've had some people that would definitely be considered low income by their financial status, by their financial statements. But we've also had people that are middle class. You know, we've had a family of four come in where everybody in the family has celiac disease. So that's going to affect, even though their, you know, their income looks, you know, decent, when you have four family members, you know, that eat $300-$400 worth of food every week, that gets a lot more expensive than if you just have one family member that has celiac disease. So it's really different. We've also actually had one veteran come through.
Okay, well, thank you for the information today. And have you got another story?
Yeah, we've also had women come through via domestic violence shelter. There is something called United 211 through the United Way that offers all kinds of services, and we've just recently been listed with them. So that's how some people are finding us. But basically, we've just had some, you know, lots of stories come through. There's, you know, moms that are with children newly diagnosed that, you know, they don't know which way is up or down, because, you know, when a doctor tells you your child can't have wheat, egg, dairy, peanut and soy, well, you know, what else is there? I mean, if you look at, you know, turn your crackers over, turn your cookies over, turn your cereal over, look at the labels, the ingredients on the label, and you're going to see all those items in there. So it's a whole new world that people have to relearn to cook. You have to relearn everything you know about food and nutrition, because, you know, eggs are, for most people, a very nutritious breakfast. But if your child is anaphylactic to eggs, then you have to go another route.
Well, what causes the food allergies that you guys try to help with the gluten food?
Well, I mean, we're not medical professionals. I think the jury's still out on what causes food allergies. I mean, if I could answer that, I'd probably be a millionaire.
But
I will say that there are, you know, we do know that there are eight foods that cause most of the allergies in this country. And that includes peanuts, milk, eggs, wheat, soy, shellfish, fin fish. And, you know, those items trigger most of the reactions that we see in this country. So basically, both allergists and pediatricians typically diagnose food allergies in young children. And then you can develop an allergy at any age, really. So I don't know what causes it, but I do know that living with it changes your life. You know, like Amy mentioned, you know, you have to rearrange your, you know, kitchen, how you prepare your food. You have to learn to read labels. It's a lot. It can be overwhelming. And that's one of the things that we're working on to improve, is trying to have that support system for low-income families and for really anybody that needs help with these issues. The pantry is also going to start having classes soon, teaching people how to read the labels and how to prepare the food, because we don't want to just give somebody, you know, a bag of quinoa flour and not show them how to prepare it.
When you're giving out food, do you give out fresh vegetables too?
We do. We do give out fresh fruits and vegetables, and the church actually has a community garden, and they're growing food for the pantry. So it's a great partnership there. And then we also source a lot of our fresh fruits and vegetables through Harvesters and another nonprofit organization called After the Harvest KC, which goes out and gleans food at local farms,
specifically for food pantries.
Tell me something. What about most school children when they're going to school for lunch? Do they get gluten-free food or?
Well, you know, the USDA oversees the school lunch programs, the school nutrition programs, and if you have a child that has a special diet, and they receive school lunch, they are required to prepare, you know, their meal without their allergens or without gluten. But the problem is that some of the school districts, I know in particular with gluten, are still having a hard time sourcing those foods at the right price. So you can, they will get food, but it may not look exactly like what their classmate has. But they are required to, by law, to provide the food.
Well, what's some of the diseases you can take care of with your food?
Well, we actually, there's two avenues. We take care of people with gluten issues, but we also take care of people with food allergies. However, the gluten side is kind of interesting because more and more diseases and medical conditions are being linked to gluten. And now it's not to say every single person with this condition has an issue, but there are quite a few people with Hashimoto's, with MS, with, you know, obviously celiac disease. But there are a lot of fibromyalgia is another one where people go on these gluten-free diets and they feel much better. So again, it's not to say every single person with these conditions is going to feel better. But, you know, if your doctor has ordered you to try, at least try the diet out and you feel better, then you're going to want to stay on that diet. So we can help people with any of these gluten-related conditions, not just celiac disease.
Well, that's inspirational. What can I say? Say your website again so people know how to reach you.
It's www.foodequalityinitiative.org.
And if they wanted to, if some company wanted to get a hold of you to give you a call, what's that phone number?
It's 913-703-6639.
Okay. I'm thinking of the next question. You know, I think people ought to really get involved by getting help from them. But also, if you're a company out there and you serve or you peddle this kind of food, give them some, because they're going to give it out to the poor and those in need. And that's what it's about. It's about Kansas City coming together to help those that maybe not able to help themselves. And, you know, we have a lot of good 501s in this town. This is one of the better ones, I think. Of course, I'm prejudiced. I have my own. But, you know, is there any last-minute things you ladies would like to say?
Sure. We actually are going to be a part of the Whole Foods Giving Day on June 18th, and we want to let all of the listeners know, come by and shop at Whole Foods on 91st Street and Metcalf and Overland Park on June 18th. We'll be there all day, and 5% of all the sales that day goes to support the pantry. So come out and support us.
Something you'd like to say? Wrap it up?
Yep. We do appreciate you for having us on the show, and this has been a great opportunity just to kind of get the word out and let people know that we're open and we're here to help the community.
Well, this afternoon you could go on the website of our station and get this interview. It'll be up on the internet. So, with that, ladies, I want to thank you both for coming in this week. It's been a pleasure, and I hope I wasn't too bad of an interviewer for you.
No, it's been great.
But just like you, some things are new to me, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
You're listening to KKFI 90.1 FM, your Kansas City community radio station. Thank you all again.
Welcome back to Jaws of Justice Radio on KKFI. This is Jeff Humfeld. I would like to start out this second part of the show by reading the description of the Kansas City Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fountain. And I got to get that piece of paper up there. Water, like time, has the power to cleanse and heal. This memorial fountain stands as a symbol of that healing. From the devastating division caused by the Vietnam War, the fountain's pools represent the country's growing involvement in the war, culminating in two pools symbolizing the divided opinions at the time. Americans took distinct and differing stands on the war and caught in the middle were the thousands of men and women from the Kansas City area who served in Vietnam, hundreds of whom were killed or are missing and unaccounted for. This memorial is to honor them and bring us all together in tribute to their dedication and bravery. The park is for all of Kansas City to enjoy and to remember, for only in remembering can we assure that it never happens again. My guest today is Sergeant Major Philip Hoffler, a 33-year veteran of the U.S. Army and the person directing today's activities at the Kansas City Vietnam Veterans Fountain. Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio, and more importantly, welcome home, Sergeant Major.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate it. I'm honored to be a guest on your station.
Well, I've been attending the ceremony down at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial for a number of years myself because I am of that era. I was lucky enough to go to Iceland instead of Vietnam. So, but, you know, I knew, you know, many of my friends that did go to Vietnam and some that didn't return.
Put the blinkers on.
You know, I want to say, can you describe, you know, what's going to happen here today and you know, what the ceremony's about and why the fountain itself?
Well, the ceremony, this is the 133rd National Observance of Memorial Day and the 29th Observance of Memorial Day at the Vietnam Memorial Fountain. 2016 is going to be the 30th anniversary of the dedication of the Vietnam Memorial. Here at the memorial today, we're going to honor the 365 names that are inscribed on the wall that are from all around Kansas City area. We're going to have a color guard, pipe and drum corps, and Miss Nancy Bruno is going to sing the national anthem, God Bless America, for the ceremony.
All right. Can you tell us some of the speakers that will be there today? And is
our keynote guest, distinguished guest speaker, is going to be Mayor Carlton Ross. He is the mayor of Blue Springs. Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, Congressman Kevin Yoder, former Congressman Dennis Moore, Mayor Sly James, Jackson County Executive Michael Sanders, and Art Fillmore, which is the chairman of the Vietnam Foundation.
Okay, and Art's also been instrumental in the building of the Veterans Campus over off of Van Buren 39th. Yeah. You know, one of the things that that I see there every year is that there are a number of the, of course, chapters of Vietnam veterans that come, but also the Native American folks come and they do some things there. Can you tell us a little bit about what their part is, they play?
The Native American color guard team does the ceremonial blessing, which has been an intimate part of the Vietnam veterans, where they come and they do individual ceremonial blessing of the individuals, and then they do a blessing on the wall, and then once the colors are posted, then they bless the colors.
Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the fallen comrade table? And what that's all about.
Okay, the Fallen Comrade Iron Battle Cross is the weapon, helmet, and boots that the veteran wore into combat, and that summarized that a fallen comrade has failed, and we recognize that fallen comrade with the battlefield cross, as it's called. The next item is the POW-MIA table, which we set up to represent the POWs and MIAs that are still not accounted for. And we have a red rose represent the love that the family have. We have a white candle, which represents a light in the darkness. The chair is empty because they can't be with us today. They can't be with us today. And the wine glass is inverted because they can't tote.
You know, for those folks that haven't ever been to the memorial, it's at about 43rd and Broadway. What time is your ceremony going to start today? And I think I'd like to let people know that although you do have chairs set up, there's usually more people than there are chairs. So if you're, you know, a little bit infirm, like some of us are getting to be, you should probably bring a chair of your own. But time?
They're welcome to bring a picnic chair if they have one of their own. We have chairs. We have benches. The fountains are going to be cut off at 11:30 so everyone can hear the ceremony. They are welcome to sit on the ledge of the fountain. And the ceremony is going to start at 11:45 sharp.
Okay, 11:45 you say?
Yes, 11:45.
Okie doke. Are there any other activities there that you want to let people know about? I know that normally you have some food for some of the vets that come and their families. What do you got going on with that?
We have organizations that's going to lay a wreath at the wall to represent the unit. Each unit will walk up and lay a wreath. Also, we have a etching of the name on the wall if someone would like to do an etching of the person that's on the wall that they want to recognize, and we will help them do the etching to get the name off the wall.
That sounds very good, especially for those folks that have family members up there. Sergeant Major, we want to thank you very much for coming on and talking to us today. And hopefully the weather holds. It looks like it's out nice right at the moment. But
Looks like God has blessed us with a beautiful day. The sun is shining. It's still about 70 degrees right now. So it's going to be nice. I would like to mention one other thing. We have the Vietnamese, Kansas City Vietnamese community that comes down and also participate in the ceremony.
That's very good. I'm glad to hear that. And once again, we want to thank you for coming on. This is Sergeant Major Philip Hoffler, 33-year veteran of the U.S. Army, and he's directing the ceremonies today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Phil. I greatly appreciate it and being a guest.
And I'll probably see you there shortly.
Okay. Have a great day and a happy memorial and welcome home, brother.
Thank you. Welcome back to Jaws of Justice Radio here on KKFI. It is Memorial Day and we are doing a bit of a tribute. And we also want to let you know some of the things that are happening around town. And of course, the World War I Museum is having a lot of things happening up there. So, but before I tell you about those, I want to tell you a little bit about the music that we played. The first song, Bandana Man, is by Arlen Bennett, and it's on a compilation called Until You Come Home, Songs for Veterans and Their Kin. And I have to admit, I get choked up when I listen to that song. And the song that we just heard just a moment ago is by Cy Khan, and it's called First Time at a War. There is so much happening up at the Liberty Memorial today, and their ceremony is from 10 to 11, so you can catch theirs and still make it over to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. They're not that far apart. They've had things going on all weekend. I've been up there myself a couple times. They have the Traveling Vietnam Wall up there, and that's always a moving experience, especially for those who fought in Vietnam. One of the veterans groups has a Huey helicopter display, and if you got kids, you can take them down there and they can go into the helicopter and look around and see what it is. There's also a vintage military vehicle display, a lot of Jeeps, and I think there's a, I remember if I remember correctly, there was a, like a, old ambulance and some other things like that there. Also, there's a clothes drive for the disabled veterans of America or disabled American veterans. So if you have some extra clothes and you're going to be going down, you got some things that you're willing to part with, then you should probably take those down with you and, help out the DAV. And I'm not exactly sure what this is, although I got an idea. The Wounded Warrior Family Support High Five Tour Vehicle Display. I saw a guy out there the other night that was in a wheelchair that had tracks on it like a tank. And those are for guys that, you know, want to get out into nature and get out into, you know, the wild, even though they don't have use of their legs any longer. And it was pretty neat to watch that thing. Boy, it can move too. It's almost like a an all-terrain vehicle, but it's a wheelchair. Then another thing that's happening today that sounded really interesting, from noon to 2 p.m., there by the wall, the Res Vets Writers Place group is going to allow people, they want people to give their experience in their war experience in 5 words, I think it is. So it's going to be real difficult to do, but I think that it could really be a very interesting exercise. And if you're a veteran or you're a family member that you know has experiences yourself, that might be something you'd like to try. That's from noon to 2 p.m. and it'll be over by the movable wall, the Vietnam Veterans Wall. There's also a second ceremony today, the Walk of Honor dedication ceremony. And that, if you've been to the Liberty Memorial, you can see the bricks where people have put their family members' names and things like that on them or their loved ones' names on them to honor them and let people know that they're proud of the sacrifice they made. One of the things that you probably need to know is that the parking is kind of cramped, so that what they're doing is they're asking you to park in the West Yards parking garage down at Union Station. That's that parking garage just to the west of the station. They have a shuttle bus that'll be going back and forth, so there is plenty of parking. If you want to go, that's the place to go. If you want to find out more about what's happening or what has been happening this weekend, you can go to www.theworldwar.org.
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following testimony was delivered this week to the Missouri Legislature by Thomas W. Mundell, former member of the U.S. Army, serving as an Arrow Scout gunner on hunter-killer assault teams, performing search-and-destroy missions in operations from Vietnam to Afghanistan. During his military career, he received the Silver Star, Distinguished Flying Cross, Bronze Star Medal for Valor, Air Medal for Valor, Army Commendation Medal for Valor, 4 Purple Hearts. Thomas W. Mundell.
Post-traumatic stress disorder. I have not met one veteran, and I have not met one individual. They all have a very distinct opinion that marijuana does reduce the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder unbelievably. And for someone that's been shot down 11 times, spent 17 months in the hospital, fought from Vietnam, 3 tours in Nam, 4 years in Iran, 2 years in Iraq, 17 months in Afghanistan, Pakistan, I'll be the last one on this earth to say I don't have a little bit of PTSD, but at least I have emotions now. And that's something I didn't have when I was fighting, when I was a warrior. because I just, you just can't do what I did for a living and really have emotions and do your job right. You just got to do it and deal with it later. My daughter's mother found me out in the garden one night at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I guess I was going through some kind of stupid head trip that I've always tried to hide from everybody. And I thought she was putting a cigarette in my mouth. And I pushed her away. I said, "Get that out of my face." And she goes, "Tom, you're dying. Something's going wrong. You need to relax. Please, just try this." I did. And for the first time in a long time, I started doing what I'm doing right now. I got emotional. I started caring, not only for others, but myself. It really relaxed me. And at that time, I will admit to you all here right now, I was on 71 pills a day. I was taking 41 in the morning and 30 at night. And I take 3 now. I'm not going to admit to anything else. And I've really come out of the closet on this one. But I felt that I needed to step up and be a man and be a leader.
It seems such a shame that a war hero would be afraid to speak the truth here in America. Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. What am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it? Some way, somehow. Well, maybe I'm not.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcasts on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce Jaws of Justice Radio, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live and find podcasts of our show on the KKFI website, that is kkfi.org. We thank our engineer, Beth Pike, for her work today. My name is Melvin Merritt, asking you to tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Claymer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Beautician Blues with Luscious Lynn, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Ho. Stick around for jazz and blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musicale.
And good morning to you.